This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:07 a.m, Wednesday the 16th of December, and in about 15 minutes we're going to be speaking with Thomas Daniel, a senior analyst at ISIS Malaysia, on Malaysia's regional security outlook. But before that, we are taking a look at the markets.
It was a green day over in the US with the Dow up 1.1% and the NASDAQ and S&P both up 1.3% in the Asian region at their close yesterday. Japan was down 0.2%, Hong Kong was down 0.7%, both Shanghai and Singapore were barely changed, down about under 0.1%, but the KLCI was up 0.7% at the close yesterday, so a nice end to the markets yesterday.
Yes, and for more insight into what's been happening over in markets, we are speaking this morning with Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today. Now, the S&P 500 broke its longest losing streak since September as Congress moved closer to a $748 billion package, while the vaccine rollout in the US has also been pretty smooth so far. Are markets going to end 2020 on a new high, do you think?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. That is my feeling. I believe that any sell-offs in the equity markets are dips to buy and not a structural turn in sentiment. The Federal Reserve will announce its latest interest rate decision tomorrow morning, our time, and I would expect them to also announce that they will start buying longer-dated bonds and greater weights, and that should be bullish for asset markets as well. So supported by loose monetary policy around the world, I think that equity markets are going to finish the year on a positive note.
Jeff, when OPEC is forecasting a decrease in oil demand for the Q1 of 2021, just as vaccines are being rolled out, what are your thoughts on this?
I think it's important for everybody to realize that the vaccines aren't an instant panacea to the world's ills. So just because there is a vaccine out there, and we're probably going to have the Moderna one in the next week or so as well, they have to be distributed. People have to have these two-shot regimens. They have to get out there in volume. And we're not really going to see the impact of these vaccines, I believe, until after Q1 of next year. In the meantime, when you look at Europe, hard lockdowns being enacted all over Europe. Germany's starting this week. The UK, Ireland, the list goes on. The United States, we don't really have to even talk too much about. We can see what's happening there. Even places like Malaysia, South Korea, Japan, I mean, COVID-19 is well and truly with us, and we're well and truly into the second or third wave. It will impact consumer discretionary spending in the first quarter of next year, and hence that forecast for oil consumption has been dropped down. After Q1, I think we're going to start seeing the recovery really picking up pace.
Where do you see short-term levels given this outlook?
Yeah, oil itself, I think, has made a structural low. We really well and truly have seen the lows of oil. The outlook is reasonably positive. I believe that 2021 will be a vintage year with the economic growth once we can start moving past this COVID-19 in Q1. I'm looking for my next target for Brent crude around 55, and I think oil will settle between $55 and $60 a barrel in 2021.
And Jeff, bringing it a little closer to home to us, Singapore has moved on to phase three of its COVID response strategy on the 28th of December. Which economic sectors stand to gain from this? Are airline and hospitality stocks immediate beneficiaries?
Really not, because the main change is now that you can have eight people in a group together. So I'm guessing the it's going to be consumer discretionary, it's going to be cafe groups, it's going to possibly be things like shopping malls, food and beverage, entertainment, etc., that they stand to benefit the most from greater groups of people being able to hang out together, to be honest. Airlines are still in a deep freeze. And they will remain that way until international air travel starts to reopen. And I think that's going to probably be the middle of the year at best when we start seeing that thawing. So it won't make a huge impact on Singaporean stocks immediately.
Taking a look at the region on a much a little bit of a wider scale here, Jeff, trade tensions continue to escalate between China and Australia. Do you think they'll take their dispute over to the WTO? And what could the likely outcome from that look like if it does go there?
It's definitely heading that way. I mean, China and Australia have a signed free trade agreement, which China seems to have torn up and thrown in the rubbish bin. But I believe that a lot of these disputes will end up in the WTO, but I don't think China is going to be too bothered because the US has effectively gutted the WTO over the last 4 years. They've blocked any appointments of new judges. So actually getting your case heard in the WTO at the moment is almost impossible. So I think that Australia and China are going to have to sort this out between themselves, and that Australia won't find too much joy there simply because there will be nobody there to hear their cases.
And Jeff, as we move into 2021, what's your strategic asset allocation looking like?
Look, I think next year will be, we're going to see more of the same of 2020, which is a generalized asset asset price appreciation driven by an economic recovery in the world that will gather pace very quickly after Q1. And 0% interest rates from basically every developed market, central bank in the world, most especially the Federal Reserve. I think Asia is going to outperform quite strongly, and particularly ASEAN. So overweight ASEAN, which has underperformed in 2020, but long Asia in general, as far as equities go, and I'm also thinking we're going to see new record highs in gold as well. So definitely some of that in the portfolio too.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Jeff. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda. Shanning, what were some of your thoughts from that conversation with Jeff?
I think the first one, of course, is that he's overweight Asia, and in particular ASEAN, which is right. He did rightly point out that this market has been underperforming in 2020. But there's a bit of I think he has taken a bit of an unusual stance in that he also expects gold to achieve record highs. But normally they're like negatively correlated equity markets and the safe haven asset. But perhaps that's really just driven by, you know, the fact that interest rates are, you know, ultra low, and there's a little bit of concern that the US will continue to print money. So people are looking for alternate asset classes. But let's see. It's still early days yet.
Yeah, he does expect a general asset price appreciation for 2021 for it to continue. So this is going to be interesting to see. Overweight ASEAN, long Asia. So let's take a look at what happens in 2021. But right now, speaking of ASEAN, we've got a bit of news out of Indonesia here with Tokopedia, which is Indonesia's e-commerce giant. They could be acquired by Bridgetown Holdings, a special purpose acquisition company backed by billionaires Richard Lee and Peter Thiel, who's of Silicon Valley fame. The SPAC is reportedly exploring the structure and feasibility of a deal with one of the most valuable startups in Southeast Asia. However, deliberations are still at a preliminary stage. I remember news of this SPAC being, or at least this partnership being set up a few weeks back, and everyone was kind of speculating who they were going to try and get at. So this is going to be interesting. And of course, when we think about the deal-making situation in Asia, or at least Southeast Asia, there's also the whole Grab Gojek situation, right? That there are talks of a merger happening there. Anyway, Bloomberg sources do say the Tokopedia deal, Tokopedia, which is backed by SoftBank, that deal, the company could be worth about $8 to $10 billion.
Yeah, so merging with a SPAC has become an increasingly popular method for all of these closely held businesses to raise capital for growth. It's been a pretty big year for these SPACs, in fact, because in a world of low interest rates and high valuations on other stocks, you know, some see SPACs as a reasonable place to park your money for a little while, right? And of course, just now we was also talking about oil with Jeff, and the president of OPEC, Algeria's energy minister, Abdelmadjid Attar, has reiterated that the group shouldn't rush to increase output early next year. And he says that global energy demand is still fragile. Despite an agreement earlier this month to reach 2 million barrels a day by April, the OPEC president says there's no guarantee that they will reach that point. Attar says 2 million barrels daily is not a goal in and of itself.
Yep, OPEC ministers have their next meeting on January 4th. Some members may be keen to increase production to boost their struggling economies. Brent crude has soared more than 33% since the start of November to around $50. Right now, it's actually just under $51 a barrel as governments announced their rollout of vaccines, but it's still down 24% this year. And a vaccine is not going to be an instant fix for this. It's going to take time for the economies to recover and demand, oil demand to come back.
And up next, we're going to be taking a look at the regional security outlook for Malaysia in conversation with Thomas Daniel, senior analyst at ISIS Malaysia. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.